At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
And this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Look at now, right out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. In other words, he looks good, and he's usually on TBN. Oh, no, never mind. So, it is no great thing. Did you catch that? This is no great thing when his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their destiny will be according to their works. Anybody can tell me what is in Acts 15? Up until Acts 15, that Silas and or Barnabas and Paul. After Acts 15, it's Paul and Barnabas. If you recall, I forget what city they're in, but there's this woman following them around. Hey, these guys are the servants of God. They're preaching truth. Is that true? Yes, that is true. After a few days, Paul turns around and looks at the girl who was a fortune teller. Do you remember this story, anybody? And he cast a demon out of her. And the owner and the people get upset because their fortune teller just lost their fortune telling power. But we know Satan can't tell the future. But he sure knows humanity. So here we have in the New Testament the story of a demonic spirit proclaiming truth. Do you catch that? So I want you to understand it's not impossible for this to happen this way. If that was God bringing literally Samuel from heaven back to earth through a necromancer, all right? Now, you can disagree with me if you want to. That's fine, but just show me Scripture. That's all I ask. All right? So, we'll keep moving. But what is interesting is when Saul is there with these people. He falls on the ground about this word, and it says that he was also, there was no strength in him, Saul. He had eaten no food all day and all night. Some scholars say he would think he was fasting, thinking that would make God answer him or something. I can't, you know, that's conjecture. I couldn't say for sure. But look who feeds him. The woman. And the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it and took flour, kneaded it, baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And when they rose and they went out that night. Be careful who feeds you. Be careful who feeds you. See, we think we can go before the things of the world and find answers. You will find the answers in one place, folks. It's in God's written word. That's where you'll find. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's about buying a new car. Well, where's that in there? Oh, just give me a moment. We'll take care of that. Should I marry him? We can go to the Bible about that one. Well, I don't understand. I mean, he's LDS. I love him. Oh, come on. Somebody out there awake. The answer's found in the Word of God. Yeah, but I think and I feel and I want to and it should be. Look at the circumstances. I hate that. Look at the circumstances. No, look at the Word of God. This is why I want to say that that can't be God bringing Samuel up from the dead, because then God has to counteract his own Word. That's my problem with that. It wasn't a resurrection. It would have just been an aberration of... anyway, the Word of God is where you go. But he allowed this woman to feed her. And I think I was talking to my daughter the other night. As I was tucking her in, we began talking about this idea. And people, are they Christians, are they not? And anyway, but we began to talk about an analogy I've given for years. You have twins. One exercises and eats healthy. The other one eats Twinkies, donuts, and Cheetos. Right? And the couple burglar comes in the house, which one's going to be able to repel the burglar? Which one's going to get sick? All right? What you feed becomes stronger. Now, I'm going to be honest. You don't have to feed your flesh. All you have to do is walk outside. Now, and I'm going to be somewhat vague here because of the mixed audience. Back in the day, if you went into a department store, those sensitive clothing items were at the back. And I will mention it. You can walk into JCPenney's in the mall, and it's dead center. Then, God forbid, you go to the center of the mall. They got pictures the size of that wall. Trust me, you do not have to work at feeding your flesh. You can go to work and just listen to the people around you. You can watch the news. You can listen to the radio. You do not have to feed your flesh. You will get the Cheetos, the ding-dongs, and the Twinkies automatically. You have to work at feeding the Spirit. It's not going to come from the media. It's not going to come from our work. You can't expect it there. They're not godly people. You can't. What do you expect from sinners? Right? You have to feed. Oh, and you'll see. I'll show it to you. You have to feed yourself. And you know, you've heard me say it before, when people come visit us and I ask them why they're coming over here, and they say, Church A, I wasn't being fed. My elders has corrected me on this. And I used to say, yeah, adults feed themselves though. And my elders said, please stop saying that. Okay? But that's true. I got grandkids. If you ever had a baby, yeah, babies feed. Read, we're in the middle of 1 Corinthians. And Paul talks about this milk, right? You should be eating solid food. But you got to feed. Be careful where you feed. He went looking for answers. Next thing you know, he was eating there. Careful where you go for your answer. He who has your ear has your heart. I've written that in my life lessons journal. Now we get to the meanwhile. It tells us this, starts with this. David has now been called out on his lies, if you will. He's called out to go fight Israel. All right? Jumps to the story of Saul. And so now we get to the meanwhile. Achish has invited him to come fight, but his generals go, yeah, I don't think so. Remember this guy? He was the guy. Saul killed his thousands. David killed his tenth. You know, this is the perfect chance. I mean, the battlefield, he can make himself up to Saul. We don't want him. So Achish says, man, I'm sorry, dude, but I got to send you away. Matter of fact, do it right away. And it says, first thing in the morning, he leaves. We're now in chapter 30. Okay, he returns to Ziklag. That's the city he's been given. While he's gone, he's attacked by the Amalekites. The city was attacked by the Amalekites. All their children and their wives have been taken away. Why are the Amalekites significant? Samuel chapter 15. Those are the people that God told Saul to kill all of them. Yeah, it also comes up in the book of Esther. So this is the one you were supposed to kill all of. So while David's having to cover for his lie, the sin of Saul even comes back. Both in David's case, his lies, that's why he was gone. Saul's case, his disobedience, always cost those around you. Young people, listen to me. When you do stupid, don't say this, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. That's a falsehood you've been told by the world. Your sins will affect those around you. And all the young people said, yes. In this case, here's David. He's having to cover for his lies. And while he's gone, his whole family and the men that are with him, all their families have been taken captive. First part of verse 30, or verse 6 out of chapter 30. And David was greatly distressed. I think that might be an understatement. Greatly distressed. Anybody know, what's it say in the King James? Anybody have something different there? Have King James? That's NASB there. David was greatly distressed for the speak people. Who people? His people. The only ones around is his 600 men. That's all that's left. Spoke of stoning him. You know you're having a bad day when your friends want to kill you. I told you, David, doing this fake alliance is going to get us in trouble. Now somebody's hauled off my wife and kids. You can take my stuff, but touch my wife and kids, you in trouble. They're talking about stoning him because the people were bitter in soul. Why? Each for his sons and his, I don't know why it doesn't say wives, but his, their sons and daughters. These guys are bitter and upset. David's lies have come back to haunt him, and even his good friends, those guys that came to him at the cave of Adullam, the misfits, these guys that come, all of them now want to kill him. Wow. Now Saul, when Saul finds out there's an enemy coming against him, he goes to God, but God don't answer him because he's living in sin. And then he goes to a medium. I want to look at what David does. Okay, what do you do when you've sinned and everything goes wrong? They take you in for picture and prints. Oh, some people know what I'm talking about there. When you've been handed the pink slip because you've been lying to the boss, now you got to go home and tell your wife you no longer have a job. I don't know if she wants to stone you, strangle you maybe, especially if she finds out the reason you're losing that job is because of your behavior. But usually we don't do that. We come home and make it sound like it's the boss, but that's another story. Look at this. But David strengthened, let me put it in, he fed himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Not just in the Lord, that's Jehovah, the tetragrammaton, but his God. How do you do that? You know what? You don't do that for the first time when everybody's surrounding you to stone you. As we went through the story, we've talked about the Psalms David wrote at different stages. David did what came natural. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and restore it. Can you strengthen yourself in the Lord when you're all alone? When there ain't anybody on your side, excuse me, when there isn't anybody on your side, my wife would have corrected my English there. When there isn't anybody on your side, when everything around you's gone crazy, can you strengthen yourself in the Lord? I'm going to suggest to you, unless you learn to worship, you won't be able to do that. Unless you learn the Word of God, you won't be able to do that. One of the parts of worship is praise. That's thanking God for what he's done. But then there's that worship part, just honoring God for who he is. If I ask you right now to give me a list of five things to tell me where you can honor God for who he is, could you do it? Could you kick out a few verses? It doesn't have to be verbatim, maybe, you know, that you know that you can rely on in that moment when they say you have cancer. Can you do that? Or do you sit in the house, nobody's come to visit me. Nobody, because you know I've been out of work 3 months now and the church hasn't chipped in at all to help me out. Can you encourage yourself in the Lord? I was laying, I had been, you know, all know I had my back surgery and I didn't work for 3 years and all that stuff. That's where I learned that lesson. And I think it was God. I really do. Because I have good Christian friends, plenty of them. None of them showed up. My wife was out mowing the lawn. Things that I should have been doing, she was out doing. Nobody was offering. Do I blame them? No, I don't. God was teaching me this. Listen, boy, when it's just me and you, can you do it? When it's just you, and there's God, can you strengthen yourself in your God? Young people, not the God of your parents. Your God. Is he your God or is he the God of your parents? Can you give me the scripture? Can you tell me who God is? Can you tell me what he's done for you? Or do you turn and look at mom and dad? Husbands, do you look at your wife to do that? Shame on you. Nothing wrong with wives doing that. But as men, as fathers, you need to be able to do this. When it's all gone bad around you, and your wife hasn't got a good word for you, and your kids despise you, which isn't that hard. You've sent them to their room. That's all you had to do. Can you do that? Can you reach there and say, God, it's me and you, God? I don't need a Braveheart speech. I just mean God. And if I didn't put a Bible in your hand, could you do it? I can take you to Southeast Asia with me right now. The guys have been there, and they don't have one in their hand. Could you do it then? But he didn't just encourage himself and the Lord. Look what he does next. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, that was the one guy escaped. Remember Nob, where Saul killed them all? He escaped with the ephod. The son of Abimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, and God answered David. What's the difference? See, David, when he gets slammed, he figures out where he's got to go. He recognizes the mess he's in right now. This whole Ziklag thing is his fault. His sin brought him to that point. Remember, we talked about this. When he leaves the land of Judah and goes into the land of the Philistines for safety, he doesn't write one psalm in 4 years. He's gone to Gath. He knows that's wrong. Now he's been lying to the king there to get on his side, to be able to just stay there. See, because once you go to the enemy camp, you sort of got to cover up your Christianity to stay there. And he recognized where he's at today. His wife, his children, and all of his friends, wives, and children are gone. And he goes to God. He doesn't ask, is there a medium? He doesn't look for advice anywhere but in God. Now for us today, the ephod there, he didn't have God's word in the same way we do. There wasn't a bunch of books sitting around to open it up. And that was the way God said for them to seek his will in those days. Today, when God says how to seek his will is found in his word. So not only did he encourage himself, because I'm going to be honest, if you don't encourage yourself, you'll open the book and go, I don't get it. There's nothing there. It's not speaking to me. Because you don't recognize who wrote the book. If you just open up and think it's ink on paper. But when you start, encourage yourself in the Lord. Tell him yourself who he is, what he has done. Now open the book. Oh man, you're not going to get it. God, I thank you that you brought me out of the pit where I lie in my sin and my nakedness and my wickedness and my darkness. You came through a county jail. You came through and reached out and arrested me, grabbed me, chased me. I wasn't looking. And you came and found me and brought me to the foot of your cross. There you washed me as white as snow, took away my iniquity, made me just and right before you. Now read it. God, I thank you that I live in America. Father, I thank you that you did this and you did that. Nobody in this room looks like they're starving. God, I thank you that you provided my daily bread. Father, I thank you that you've met my need. Now open the book. You got to prepare that heart with the things of God. All right? And this is the part, and again, my daughter and I talked about this. When God says he'll give you the desires of your heart, that doesn't mean you desire a Mustang. He gives you one. I'd have one by now. No, what he means is what I desire, what's in there, he has given me. That is my desire. My desires are what God placed in me. So when we sing songs, God, show me your glory, show me your presence, because that's what I want. Recognizing this, when you get there, you'll be undone. You'll be like the prophet. And I saw the Lord high and lifted up and the train of his robe, they sing, holy, holy, holy. And what's the prophet's response? Yeah, he drops face to the ground and says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now listen, and I'm among a people among you. What that means? Everybody's unclean. And the angel, a coal from the altar of God, comes and touches his lips and cleanses his lips. And look at the response. Right in the middle of all this amazing stuff, and the angel declaring, holy, holy, Lord God, all of a sudden it gets quiet because God's talking. I got a job. I wonder who I should send. When that God asks a question, he's not looking for an answer. He already knows the answer. It's a tug on the prophet's heart. Here am I. Not here I am. Here am I. He wasn't talking about location. Send. And I suggest to you, if you're going to seek God's presence, if you're going to encourage and seek God's answer, you better get ready. He's going to break you, tear you, until you recognize you're an unclean one. And he's the only one that can purify you. When you recognize that, I guarantee you he didn't do it to waste time. He did it because he's calling you to something. And when you get in his presence, you will be saying, send me. I think that's often why the church, especially on Sunday mornings, doesn't press through to the point of worship. That's where you've got to pass it, and it's all about him. You're about how wonderful and amazing and incredible he is in his personhood, in his character, in his nature. Because you get there, you're not shouting. You're not dancing there. You can't show me that in Scripture. When you get to that presence, you are broken before God, probably weeping, not necessarily, but probably weeping, and God will ask something of you, and that's why we don't go there. I'm happy where I am, thank you. And that's why we'd rather go to the medium. Let me put it another way. That's why we may rather go to the media. When trouble's there, we want to escape. So because we're Christians, you know, we don't want to go to the alcohol and drugs and escape. You can't do that. But you can turn on the idiot box and whatever's on there, that's okay. And I call it that on purpose. It makes a point. When it's all falling apart, where do you run? Where do you go? To your own medium, whatever that is? To the people who tell you what you want to hear? You're right, it's all David's fault. Well, you poor thing, David's just disrespectful of your authority. Oh, you poor Saul. Even when we do medium, he couldn't get that. Or do you run to God, and I'll bet you 10 to 1 there, he'll point out where you've slipped. He'll point out where you made the mistake. He'll point out where you've sinned, and you need to be right with him. That's often why we don't go there. Okay? But when we see that David was a man after God's own heart, because David consistently messed up, not just Bathsheba. He consistently messed up, but he knew where to go. When he messed up, he knew to run to his God. And there in God's presence, his heart is broken and contrite. And he is transformed. And God's the one who makes him the man he is. Saul didn't understand that. He thought by the fact he went to church, that was it. Or let me put it this way. He thought because he was king, that was it. And he was wrong. Let's stand. Thank you.
You know, I'm going to end by reading this, especially to fathers. David need to encourage himself. Ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers in heavenly places, over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Then we get to the armor of God. You've heard so many messages on the armor of God. David knew when he was under attack, he needed to be strong in the power of the Lord's might and put on the armor of God to make it through. Father, I thank you today that your word speaks life and truth. But God, I thank you it doesn't just give me a motivational speech. It speaks to my brokenness. It speaks to my sin nature. But God, it also gives me the answer found in the cross of Christ, the answer found in His Word. Lord, I pray for the fathers today that are in this building and those listening by media, that they would learn when all things fall apart to encourage themselves in you and to seek you, not the things of this world. God, I pray that then we fathers, we men, would be men after God's own heart, broken, contrite, and those whose desires have been given to them by God. We ask this, O God, that your name would be glorified. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.